Welcome to the Patricia King Podcast, a podcast where we explore God's vast love for all of us, as well as current and relevant prophetic insight to enrich your soul. Now, here is Patricia King.
Wow, praise the Lord. What a breakthrough day this is for all of us, and breaking forth into new realms of His glory and His goodness and His promise. Amen. Well, I want to, first of all, feature my brand new book, Dunamis Made Simple, and it's out on the book table out back if any of you would like to get a copy, and Tracy will help you with that afterwards, but I'm so excited about it. The Lord gave me the download for it in December, and it just kind of came, and I was writing, and we were able to get it in print now, so... And it's on Amazon as well. It's on Kindle. We're in the process of getting the audio version of it done as well as Spanish. So I'm excited about that. But let's pray. I have a message for you this morning that I believe will fortify you and build your faith and give you vision for what God has for you. So, Lord, I just thank you that this word is going to go forth. It's not going to return void. It's going to accomplish everything that it's sent forth to do. I thank you, Lord God, that every person in the hearing of this word is going to have a penetration of your power, of your insight, of your light that comes with your word. And, Lord, it's going to give birth to vision. It's going to give birth to new levels of blessing and manifest promise in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the title of my message is, What Do You See? What do you see? And we all see things. We all perceive things all the time, whether you're aware of it or not. You are perceiving something even right now, okay? So what we want to do is make sure that we're seeing the right things, that we're seeing through God's understanding, through His vision. And in our web church, in this last couple months, we've been doing a training called Unlocking Your Seer Anointing. It's been really great. And for anyone that belongs to the web church, you actually get access to all these teachings. They're in the archives. There's all kinds of mentoring programs there. So if you want to join the web church, just go on shilohfellowship.com, and there's a tab there. And be part of it, because it's great. But I just felt like this is almost like a bonus teaching for unlocking your seer anointing. And my personal passion is to see every believer understand the covenant of blessing that has been given to us in Christ, and that we would live according to the fullness of the potential that God has invested in us through Jesus. And, you know, He has so much for us, and we need to rise up, especially in this hour. We actually must arise in this hour. And in John 10:10, Jesus said that He came to give us an abundant life, a life that's overflowing, a life that's full, a life that is good, a life that is awesome in Him. And so when we come to Jesus Christ, we can have an expectation for that life to unfold before us, and for us to live the glory of that life, because that's what He came to give us. He said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I came that you would have life and give it and given to you in abundance, just overflow. So I want you to take hold of that right now and really believe it. Don't let it just become, oh yeah, I've heard that for the last 20 years. I know that scripture. It's John 10:10. Well, if you're not living it, you don't know it. If you are not experiencing that, you do not know it. You might be able to quote it, but it's not yours yet. It's only yours if you're manifesting it. So God wants you to manifest that abundant life. He wants you so sure of it that you know it, you're sustained by it, you live inside of it, and it exudes through you as well. And I was just sharing with someone this morning who has been in a real long warfare season, a really long one, and apparently with real high-level demons and everything, and it seems like they're losing their battle. And I thought, this sounds weird to me. Like, we can't lose a battle if we know the Lord. And I just texted them this morning, and I said, you know, we power what we focus on. And if you're focused on how big and evil and mean the devil is and how he's overpowering you, he's going to take advantage of what you believe about him and what you're focusing on, and you will actually empower him. But if you just ignore him, because Jesus kind of took care of him 2,000 years ago, and just look at the fullness of who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and know the light that is in you can penetrate any darkness, it'll change everything. And he wrote me back and said, wow, he said, I really needed that. I'm going to do that right now. And when you do that, it shifts everything. It shifts everything. And some of you have been facing a lot of warfare in this season, or circumstantial pressures that look bigger than your ability to overcome them. But nothing is too big. Nothing is too big for God. Nothing is impossible with him. And you can have an assurance that not only are you going to come through that season, but you're going to come through in glory. And you can just settle that right now. Just settle it in the spirit. Say, yeah, I mean, there's no other option. I'm coming through in glory. I'm going to come through with more than I ever had before. I'm going to come through bigger than I've ever been before in the Lord. And it is going to be good, and I'm going to settle it. That's it. I'm putting my stake in the ground, and nothing else is an option. And when you put your stake in the ground, guess what? The devil hears it. He knows how powerful you are, even if you don't. Right? But if he gets in there and lets fear and unbelief and everything get in you, and you start believing his lies, you will have what you believe. You will have what you believe. If you believe that you're no good and life is bad and life is hard and you're never going to have a breakthrough and it's always going to be crummy, you know, guess what? You will get what you believe. But when you believe the gospel, and that's good news, by the way, it means good news. When you believe the gospel, when you believe the promises of God, and you grab hold of those and say, I'm not accepting anything but this, then it changes everything. It puts everything else into motion. And we need to be people of faith and perseverance, standing and anchoring ourselves in the word of God and the will of God. And so one of the areas that I am very, very passionate about is to see believers rise up in this hour to carry the wisdom and the wealth and the glory in the earth. Not just saying, oh, well, one day I'm going to go to heaven and everything's going to be large and beautiful. No, now that we carry that realm, we have to. Because whoever holds wealth holds power and influence. There are people that are not redeemed yet. We need to be in prayer for them. They're not redeemed yet who are doing things through evil motives and for evil purposes that can have a lot of influence in the world because they have a lot of wealth. When you have wealth, you have influence. And so often in the Christian church, we say, we don't want to talk about wealth. We don't want to talk about money. We don't want to talk about anything like that because that's got to be unholy. And that is nowhere in the Bible will you find that. The love of money is the root of all evil. But God's covenant with man is a covenant of wealth. And the reason why we need this right now is because we need to have influence. We cannot let the porn industry continue to damage families. And they're lining their pockets with billions and maybe trillions a year worldwide for destructive purposes. We cannot let drug cartel leaders go on lining their pockets with billions and trillions of dollars and ruining a whole generation of young people. Well, we sit back and say, well, we're just, you know, getting our way through life here, just trying to twiddle our thumbs and, you know, see what we can do. No, we've got to rise up in the fullness of who God has called us to be. We are more than conquerors. We can transform the world, and we can do it one day at a time, one step at a time, one person at a time, but we can do it by believing the promises of God and moving forward in them. This is so important that we do this. And I was praying this morning into this message, and I was thinking about Israel. And Israel got so blessed, you know. Joseph, he had had, you know, some real trials and everything. And you know, God just worked it together for good, that even though he was thrown in the dungeon and everything, he actually gets exalted into a place where he has influence in the nation. When you influence the king, you actually have more influence than the king. A lot of times we want the highest position, but honestly, someone like a Daniel who's influencing four kings has more influence than those kings, right? And so Joseph was blessed of the Lord. He was given wisdom by God, and he was given a very high place of authority in the nation. And as a result, not only was Egypt, the whole nation, was delivered from famine, but also his own family, his own people. And then his people multiplied. His people multiplied in the blessing of the Lord because they were part of a covenant. God had cut a covenant with Abraham and his descendants. We are grafted in by faith. It's a faith covenant. And so Joseph and all of his family and all of their children and their children's children grew in blessing. They grew in numbers. They grew in flocks. They grew in lands. They were blessed. So much so that the Pharaoh, who was ruling at the time, was scared spitless of them. He says they're too powerful. They have too much wealth. They have too much influence. They have too much goodness. And there's too many of them that believe in this God. And if we just continue to let them be blessed, it's going to be trouble for us. So we better take care of it. So you know what they did? They went and oppressed them and started paying them less and making them work harder. And God's people put up with it. They forgot who they were. They forgot that they were a covenant people. The reason why they were blessed was because they were in covenant with God, not because they deserved the blessing, not because they were the brainiest people on the face of the earth at the time, although maybe some of them were, but that wasn't why they were blessed. They were blessed because of who they knew in covenant. God had cut a covenant of blessing, and when God blesses, no man can curse unless we let the curse come. A curse without cause cannot alight, but your willingness to let a curse come is a cause. And so they didn't fight it. They didn't stand up and say, just a minute, God, you gave us this blessing. We're going to maintain the blessing. We're going to contend for the blessing. We're not going to let any oppression come to what you have already given us. And so they came under the oppression of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh just kept increasing it a bit at a time, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, until their soup was real thin. They could hardly get by. They were working so hard for so little, and it was just hard, hard, hard. They didn't even have time to really focus too much on worship anymore because they were so weighed down with all the work and with all the load. They were meant to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, but they'd given over into the oppression of the enemy and let that oppression bring them down, and they were greatly discouraged. Greatly discouraged. And so God sent a deliverer to deliver them from the oppression, and it was glorious. But because they'd been oppressed and with an oppressed mindset, that even when the deliverer came, they got upset with the deliverer. They were coming against Moses, who God had raised up to deliver. And you know, they just couldn't see their victory, and they thought, you're making trouble for us. And sometimes when you pursue your breakthrough, you'll face some resistance at first and some warfare, and you can't back down. You can't say, oh no, it doesn't work. You just keep pushing through because of what God's word says. If he says it, we believe it, that settles it, and that's the way it's going to end. That's the way it's going to work out. And so God, he prepared the way for them. You know the story. The Red Sea opened, and the Lord swallowed up all their enemies behind them and brought them into this wilderness and performed miracle signs and wonders every single day. Every single day, they had supernatural provision come from heaven. They didn't even have to lift their finger to work. They'd been oppressed with work, and now they're in the wilderness. They don't have to work for anything. They're not laboring there to get a meal. The meal's just coming to them from heaven. The water's coming out of the rock. I mean, there was a glory cloud by day and the fire at night. I mean, if they had everything that they needed, God was in their midst. But even with that, they had such an oppressed mentality that they murmured and complained about the very blessing that they'd been given in the wilderness. They couldn't even see it as a blessing. They're saying, oh, that manna. You know, I wish we had the leeks and garlics back in Egypt. If only we were back there. Really? You want to go back to that oppression when you're in the wilderness, not even working a day? You don't have to work hard. You just get your food on your plate. Really? But you see, their mindset. They didn't have a breakthrough mindset. They didn't have a mindset that believed in the promises of God and in the goodness of God. He had told them, I'm going to bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey, a land without scarcity, a land that's going to be amazing. He had already given them that promise. They were headed towards that, and he was being good to them every single day. If you look to the Lord every single day, you will find his goodness. But if you look for evil every single day, you'll find it. If you look for resistance, you will find it. If you look for oppression, you will find it. What are you looking for? Are your eyes open to see the glory of the Lord and the truth of his kingdom? In Proverbs 13, 21 and 22, it says, adversity pursues sinners, but the righteous will be rewarded with prosperity. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. I want to stand on that and believe it. I want to see righteous people, kingdom-minded people, so blessed by the Lord, emerging in this hour to take hold of airwaves and ground in the land and whatever's out there for us to take, the gold, the silver, the wealth, and be the influencers of the world that we live in, instead of having evil agendas issued to us that we live under. We need to be the influencers, and the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. There's going to be a turnaround. In Deuteronomy 8:18, God says this as a covenant promise. But you are to remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you power to make wealth in order to confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. You know, that word power there in many ways is very similar to the Greek word dunamis. Very similar. And it speaks of the strength of angels. It speaks of human strength, the power of God, the strength that produces wealth, okay? The power that produces wealth. And he says that he gives us the power to make wealth. And the word wealth is kail, and it means resources. It actually refers to an army. It's riches and virtue and strength and ability and substance. Right? This is what God has promised to give to his covenant people. He gives you the power to produce this. It is in your spirit right now. This promise is alive and has been fulfilled in you in Christ. You just have to let it out and let it operate so that you can see the blessing of it. In 3 John 1:2, it says, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. And the word prosper there, the word prosper means to succeed. It means to succeed, to be fruitful, to overflow. And he's saying, I want you to prosper and be in health, but it's as your soul prospers. It's all about how you position your soul. Your soul is your mind. It is your will. It is your emotions. It is the breath of life, as it's spoken of in that scripture there. And it's the seed of your feelings, your affections, your imagination, all of those things. And I want to encourage us that if our soul is prospering, and it includes our mind prospering, which includes our thoughts prospering, and our imagination prospering, then there's a key here that will help us activate every promise of God. I want you all to prosper, to succeed, to be fruitful, to be overflowing. This is the heart of God for each and every one of you. He doesn't want anyone to live just meekerly. He came to give abundant life in every area of life, in wisdom, in revelation, in resource, provision, natural things, spiritual things, in every way, relational things. He wants holiness. He wants abundance. He wants glory. He wants blessing on the earth as it is in heaven, and lots of it. Amen? But it's as your soul prospers. It's as your mind prospers. It's as your thoughts prosper. It's as your imagination prospers. And you are always thinking on things, and you're always seeing on things. The question is, what are you thinking on, and what are you seeing? What are you seeing? What are you thinking? What do you see? Because if you see it, you can have it. Genesis 13, 14, and 15, you know that this is one of my favorite scriptures. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see, I'm giving it to you." And God gave Abram visual things to look at. He says, you know, in one point, look at the sky. You know, if you could count all the stars, you would be able to count your descendants. In this portion, he said, as the dust of the earth, so shall your descendants be, if you could count the dust of the earth, right? He's giving him visuals so that he will be able to comprehend the greatness of God and attach his faith to that which he can see. If you see it, you can have it. And the Lord's been speaking to me so strongly about this, how powerful our sight is. He says, you're always seeing something. You're seeing something positive according to my word, or something negative. And what you see, you're going to end up speaking. And when you see, when you hear, when you speak, all those things create action, and it fills the earth with the substance of what you're seeing. Now, if the church is supposed to be the light of the world and add glory and blessing and everything in the world, but we're seeing darkly, then the world has no hope. We have to be very careful, especially with media. I want to say we should be producing media, not being influenced by evil media. You produce it. You know, a lot of people say, yeah, I'm really against social media because it's so distracting, and people are getting wrong concepts through it, so I'm just withdrawing from it. Christians, come on. If we withdraw from it and we don't produce righteous media, yes, the evil media will distract people and ruin their lives. But we have to overtake it. Light expels the darkness. We have to get out there. And media is putting perceptions in people's minds more than ever. What you hear and what you see in front of you will produce imagery inside your mind. And what you believe inside of you is what you're going to be, and it's what you're going to do. It will limit you, or it will expand you, depending on what you see. And I don't want to live a limited life. And I don't want to limit God, for sure. So what do you see? In Matthew 6:19-24, we have eyes that see light. He says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So God is explaining something here about what we see. He says, what we see or what we perceive, through our vision. It goes into our soul, and it has the potential to bring light or darkness. If you are looking to negativity, if you see oppression in front of you, if you see failure in front of you, if you see corruption in front of you, that will go in there and it will form darkness inside your soul. And as your soul is, so you will act. As your heart is, so you will speak. So you will do. And so we need to watch over what is going into our vision. What are we seeing? What are we comprehending? Now, I you know, as I shared, I have a passion about extreme abundance being given to the people of God in this hour. In fact, the Lord showed me months ago. He said, I am marking faithful believers to be my millionaires and billionaires. He said, I'm looking. My eyes are moving to and fro throughout the earth to find people whose hearts are completely mine so that I can show myself strong on their behalf. I am looking for those who will be faithful, not for the love of money, but for the love of the influence of the kingdom of God in the earth that we can literally overtake. We can overtake evil. We can overtake, you know, what if we had billions of dollars right now to go into a city that is plagued with all kinds of, you know, evil stores, let's say, or evil movies, and maybe there's headquarters for evil groups being in the city. What if we were to go and say, you know what, we're going to buy you out? What if we were to go into Pattaya, Thailand, and say, you know what, we've got trillions here. We're going to buy out every brothel, every bar. You know, there's going to be a city transformed here. You see, we've got to start dreaming bigger. We can't live under the oppression and say, oh, the world's just hard and there's inflation and there's you know, everything's just getting out of hand. I got to pay so much for my gas now and so much for a bottle of milk. And come on, we got to rise up above that and see what we can do to transform the world. And if we can't see it, we can't have it. But if we see it, we can have it. And God's looking for the faithful, for those who will be able to steward it without this lust for the world or lust for money. That is just so low life. We want to live heavenly life, the highest life ever, with a perspective that says all the earth is the Lord's, all of its fullness, all it contains, all the oil, all the gold, all the silver, everything belongs to Him. And if it belongs to Him, it belongs to me, and I will steward the world well. Come on, church. God's saying, rise up, let's do it. And all of us can go to our next level. You know, if you don't see that you can go in and buy Pattaya yet, you can at least go to your next level, right? Say, God, I want to influence more people than I'm influencing now. I want to be able to sit at a table with those who will listen to me because I have the influence of wealth, because they see the success or the prosperity, as the scripture says it, the prosperity on me, and they will listen to the wisdom that is within me. And God's looking for those. And a lot of Christians are afraid to say, I don't know if I could say I want to be a millionaire. You know, what if my motives aren't right? Well, get your motives right. And then say, here I am, Lord, send me. And if you're already a millionaire, go for the billionaire mark. Or at least multiple millions, right? If you don't have faith to jump to the billionaire, go to the multiple millions and then just attach Ephesians 3:20 onto it. Lord, you can do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ever ask or think. Well, start with this. Go to your next level. So how do we see? We see with our sanctified imagination. When God created you, He created you in His image and likeness. You have a mind because He has one. You have the ability to reason because He can. You have an imagination because He has one. He imagined you. He imagined the world. So many Christians just don't get the imagination. I hear it all the time. Even for people who have been through courses on it, I hear them say, I don't want it to be my imagination. I think, oh, take the course again. Take the course again. Of course you want it to be your imagination, because you're not going to see anywhere else. You will not see a vision in your big toe. You are not going to see a vision on the end of your tongue. You will not. You are not going to see a vision on your elbow. It is in your imagination. That's the organ God created in you for you to see like he sees, for you to envision like he envisions. It's just that you got to get the garbage out of it, because God never intended us to have evil imaginings. He never intended us to have things that weren't of him clog up our thinking or our imaginations. And so we need to deal with that. But this is a place where you'll see. Let me read this. Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. This was a prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. That their eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He says, I want your eyes to be open so you can see the bigness of all that God has given you and the hope that he has in you rising up and being who you are to be. To give him what he is looking for. And the word eyes there, it is a word in the Greek that means the eyes of the mind, the mind's eye. It means the imagination, the perception. And the word understanding there is a word that means imagination, mind, and understanding. And the word enlightened means to see, to illuminate, and to enlighten. Wow. We don't have time to unpack this too much this morning, but the eyes of your understanding, pray right now that the eyes, your mind's eye, with a fullness of godly images and imagination and perceptions will fill you, that there will be understanding and enlightenment, light coming in so that you can behold his will and his purposes. Your mind, your imagination is where you actually conceive things. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, that word peace is shalom, whose mind is stayed on thee. Now the word shalom there, peace, it means completeness, safety, soundness, prosperity, health, contentment, peace in relationships, peace from war. Woo! All of that. He says, it would keep your mind in perfect shalom, whose mind is stayed on you. And the word mind there in the Hebrew is yetzer. It means actually a place of conception. In your imagination, in your thoughts, in your meditations, is where you conceive vision. It's where you conceive that connection with the Lord to actually produce things in the natural realm that they would manifest. It actually means to frame as well. It's a place where things are framed, a framework that is given to you through the mind's eye. Wow, love it. In Psalm 1:1-3, we have this well-known scripture. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's so much counsel of the ungodly out there, especially on media, and we're buying into it, and we've got to be separated from it. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. In the truth of what God says, we meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Did you see that? That's God's will. And the word there, meditate, it means to ponder, to imagine, and then to mutter from what you're imagining. Muttering it through, muttering it over, mulling it over, speaking it. And if you do that, you're going to be like a tree planted by rivers of water, brings forth its fruit in its season. Your leaf will not wither, and whatever you do will prosper. Are you committed to your personal prosperity? Or are you thinking, oh, I don't know, it's just little old me. I don't know if I should be believing for that. No, you say, no, I'm prosperous. And I intend to even be more prosperous. You know? If you don't like it, you can move to another city. No. I'm very serious about this. I need to give God what he's looking for. He didn't come to make me a loser. He didn't come so that I would be oppressed. He came that I would rise up and be fruitful and give glory to his name in the earth and leave a legacy behind. And I can't do that without his power. And I can't do that by thinking, oh, well, it's just little old me and I can't do very much. And, you know, I just want to be humble and I'll twiddle my thumbs in my easy chair. No, that's not how we're going to change the world. That's not how we're going to give God what he is looking for. Are you dreaming big enough? Are you dreaming big enough? It says in Ephesians 3:20 out of the Amplified, now to him who is able to carry out his purposes and do super abundantly more than all we dare ask or think. That word think there is thoughts that come to, but includes the imaginations, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power, his dunamis that works within us. In the book Dunamis, I unpack it all for you so that you can simply apply it. So with that, are you limiting God? Are you limiting him? In Psalm 78, 40 to 42, it says, how often they provoked him in the wilderness, talking about Israel, and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited the Holy One of Israel because they did not remember his power. They did not ponder the fullness of what he could do. They only looked at their circumstance and just reveled in the fact that they were suffering in it, instead of looking beyond it as to what God could do and for the fulfillment of his very promise. The day when he redeemed them from the enemy, they forgot. They lost sight of it. Let's not lose sight. So how do you unlock this seer ability, this seer anointing? First of all, sanctify your mind. Sanctify your imagination. Get it holy. Get it into a holy place. Ask the Lord to forgive you from any ungodly thoughts, and that includes unbelieving thoughts, fearful thoughts. A lot of times we think, well, I don't have in my imagination that I'm in fornication or adultery. Well, I'm glad, you know, because if you do have that in your mind, get rid of it right now, right? But this is way beyond. Do you have pride in your thoughts? Do you have unbelief? Do you have fear? Do you have oppressive things going on in your mind? Because we need to repent. That means turn away from those things and believe the truth about us. If you have a thought that the devil is so powerful and he's after me and I'm just, you know, he's just all over the place and I just can't seem to get him, that is an evil thought because it's not of the truth. And so we need each other. I mean, we all have, I mean, come on, I'm glad I belong to this community because you love me so much that when you find me in a place that's not congruent with the word of God, you will remind me, right? And that's what we need to do for each other. And I'm so glad that there's been you in this room who have done that for me. We need to do it for each other because we need to keep each other on that plumb line of truth. If God said it, he will do it. His truth cannot be compromised. So let's repent from unholy thoughts and unholy imaginations and receive cleansing. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness as well as forgive you. Okay? So that's cleansing. That's a purifying. It's just like a clean slate. And remember that Jesus not only forgave you of your sins, he actually took them away. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It says he will cast your sins so far from you. It's as far as the east is from the west. You know, if you face east, you'll never hit west, right? Right, Benjamin? Benjamin said yes, and so that's a lot of endorsement. And I'm not kidding you. That is endorsement. So receive that. I've got a pure imagination. I've got a pure mind. I've got pure thoughts. You know, in this moment that I've come before the Lord, my mind is sanctified because I've set it apart for him. Present your mind, present your thoughts, present your imagination to him and invite him to fill you. Nothing better, right? Now you're partnering with God. And then see. What do you see? What do you see in yourself? Benjamin, do you see yourself being more fruitful in this coming year than you've ever been in any other year in your ministry? right? Dream big on that. Just dream big. Ask God to partner with you in this and dream big on what you can do to bring forth more fruit than you've ever brought, ever in the kingdom. Tara, I'm telling you, you as a couple and you individually have so much in front of you. It's there, and if you see it, you can have it. And the more you see it, the more it materializes in the natural. If you are suffering with rejection right now, rejection is a lie. You're not rejected. How can you be rejected when God accepts you? And He is the biggest voice ever in the whole universe. And if He says, I accept you, you know, then who is going to reject you? You know, you just have to look in the mirror and say, wow, it starts right here. I accept you. I favor you. Look in the mirror and say, I favor you. It starts with you. How do you feel about yourself? How can you expect other people to favor you when you don't even favor yourself? But what does God say about you? Can you see in that mirror what He sees? Can you ask Him to reveal to you the great favor that's going to increase on your life in this coming day because you believe that favor can increase? It did with Jesus. He increased with favor. He increased in wisdom. Can you see that? Can you see yourself increasing in wisdom? I'm telling you, this is all available to you. I'm seeing something that's so much fun right now. I want to take a whole street for Jesus. I've got it in my mind's eye. I'm just going for it. I'm just, get ready, because Heather, we're going to be buying real estate. Because I want to see God glorified, right? And why not? Someone's got to own the land. Why not you? Why not me? But you say, yeah, but I don't know if I could qualify for a mortgage. Who said anything about a mortgage? Look what God can do for you. But what are you believing? Are you limiting Him? Are you restraining Him, or are you just going for it, pulling out all the plugs and going for it? And you'll be amazed at how God fulfills your dreams, and He'll do it even better than ever. He'll do it in a different way than how the world does it. So what are you seeing? Do you see your bank account full, or do you see it? Oh my goodness, I can't pay the bills. My income's depleting. My expenses are increasing. It's just not going to match, really. That's not God's economy. God's economy is different. If you see it, you can have it. I remember, and I've shared this before, but we do this with furniture. We give all our furniture away, and then we have no furniture, but I would dream about what I would want in its place. I cut out little pictures of the furniture I wanted and put it there and just decorate my room with pictures, because I knew how important it was to see it. And I could see it and dream, and then I would call it into being. I remember Ron coming home after a trip. He was a trucker, and he came home after a trip, and he noticed that all the furniture was gone. And he said, so you gave away the furniture, right? Because we'd done it many times before. And I said, yeah, but look at our new furniture. Come and sit down. Sit down on the sofa. Sit down on the love seat, you know? And it wasn't long before it manifested, but we just stayed in a faith realm until it manifests, because if you see it, you can have it. That's why vision boards are so important. When we wanted to take our entire family, Ron and I and our two children, to YWAM Hawaii in 1980, I tell you, it was a dream in our heart. And we had gone on vacation, we'd seen it, we thought, this is something we really want. I made a big vision board when we got home, and it said Kona, Hawaii, September 1980, and I put all the pictures there of where the kids were going to go to school, where we were going to go on the weekend on the beaches, where we're going to sit in classes in the discipleship training program, all of that. And at the top I said, delight in the Lord and He shall give you the desires of your heart. And every single day I just looked at that vision board. I said, yep, we are going to Hawaii to YWAM school in September 1980. Guess where we were in September 1980? We were at YWAM in Kona with our children. And back in that day, I mean, it would have probably been like what would cost today about $100,000 by the time we bought all the airfares, paid for all the fees, covered all the expenses back home and everything. Probably about $100,000 worth in today's market. And when we started, we didn't have anything. But when you're in God, you don't need the money. He just provides everything that you need. The money comes, or the air tickets come, or someone, you know, takes care of the registration or whatever. Don't limit God in thinking I have to have money. Just believe for what you need for and see it done and see how he does it. And some of you, you need to start, you know, seeing your credit cards paid off. I'm telling you, get out of debt. Do not use those credit cards. Do not spend money you do not have. You say, yeah, but I need it. No, you don't. You need what God will provide. He will provide all your needs. And if it's not being provided, that way the credit card is not God. The credit card is up to almost 30% interest now on many cards. It's just like you're feeding the world system. You're feeding the pockets of evil minded people. They have a motivation in getting your interest money. I'm just saying that. We don't need to live on credit cards. We can live, I mean, I use one, but I pay it off immediately because I get a lot of air miles on it. Can you see that card all paid off? Do you see your debt moved? Can you see it? Because if you see it, you can have it. Do you see your bank account filling up? Or do you just see it depleting? If you see it depleting, you know what's going to happen? It'll deplete. It'll obey what you see. You're the master. You have the power of Christ. You are the master. And say, no, in Jesus' name, it's like the wisdom of God is in me, and that bank account is filling up. I don't even have to think of how it's going to do it. I just know it's going to do it. I command it to do it. And the Lord's going to give me wisdom on what I can do to be wise with my spending and a good steward of what I've already been given. You don't go out and just live all crazy, right? Because we're wise. But use your seer anointing. What about your unsaved loved ones? Do you see them all bound up and just bound up in unbelief and everything? Do you see that, or do you see them serving God? Do you see them free from all that stuff that they're in and see them freely serving God? What do you see? Because if you see, you can have it. If it's according to God's will, if God blesses what you're seeing, like if you were to see someone who's married and you think, I see them as my spouse, God's not going to bless that, right? He can't endorse that. That's a bunch of foolishness. Just only what God endorses. See, record it, write it down, journal it, and believe it. Believe it. Attach your faith to what you see. If you see it, you can have it. I'm seeing, God has challenged me to see some big things in this last while. And it's interesting because as I have stepped forward to believe things, I can feel the enemy's nervousness, right? You know, if you're getting an oppression or a hit, even emotionally, that's just the devil's nervousness. But when you clue into it, you can say, just flee from me. And he will flee in terror, it says. That's what it means when he flees in terror. He's a terrorist. So if he's sowing terrorism, he gets it back. We're his worst nightmare. Amen? We're his worst nightmare. He's going to get what he sows. What he sowed, he's going to reap. He's going to reap it from us. Yay. Amen. Stand to your feet. I want to pray for your eyes that you will see. Because if you see, you can have it. What are you seeing? I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to forgive you for anything that you're seeing that is based in unbelief or contrary to his word, contrary to his promise. If you are perceiving in your mind's eye, if you are believing the lies of the enemy, that you would just repent. And just change your mind about that. Turn in another direction toward God. It's that easy. And Lord, I just thank you that you forgive us. When we transgress, you have forgiven us. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, you took care of it. And so we receive forgiveness, and we thank you that you're taking that away from us and replacing it with faith. Replacing it with a revelation of truth, that our eyes are going to be open to see how we can glorify you, how we can make your name great, how we can advance your kingdom, how we can release your wisdom into the world, how we can cause people to see your power, how we can advance you. Lord, you're going to fill us with so much vision, and that we will build and expand in our resource, in our finance, in our possessions, Lord, so that we can be even a greater blessing than we already are. That you have blessed us so that we can be a blessing. And Lord, we do this without love for the world or love for money or love for the flesh. We do this with complete love for you and you alone. Fill us with more love for you than we've ever had before, so that we can release your glory, your righteousness, your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel miracles and turn around in this room. I tell you, go for it. Pull out the plug and just go for it and dream big. Let's give the Lord a big praise.
For more information, resources, episodes, and more, connect with us at patriciakingministries.com.